Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host. We are traveling this week, but not far. We're still in town.
Long as we're someplace with air conditioning, man, we got it going down.
That's right. Mitch is sliding in for a couple of shows, yeah. And so we're gonna visit about crankbaits because right now it's peak time for crankbaits, and We might have talked about this before, but we have been on them. We went out there last week, I think. It was last week, right?
June 26th, whenever that was.
And we caught a bunch of them, and we were only there
45 and 3 hours or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
45 and 3 hours. Yeah. And even a little less when you start counting the time that we stopped and tried to give a few pointers to people on how to pull crankbaits and what to look for and what we're using to catch them. Let's get down to crankbait fishing. Tell them first, there's two types of crankbaits that you guys have, Pico has. So what are they?
Well, we've got the INT crankbait, which is designed to be a crappie lure. It's a great bass lure, walleye lure, too. It catches them. But it's designed as a diving bait. It's got a fast, rapid dive on it and pretty easy to run that thing 18 foot. On a very short, it dives so fast that on a 50-foot cast, you can touch bottom at 14 foot.
Uh-huh.
So that, to me, that part of it, a lot of baits will go 16-18 foot, but you got to let 150 foot of line out to get it done.
Right.
With these things, you know, 100 foot of line and you've got is all you ever need to let out. I know you let out everything you got, but
sometimes we've been going half a spool.
Yeah.
And so what's the other? That's a deep diver and the other then style.
We've got the same body with a square bill put into it.
Yeah.
And on the square bill, I put a knocker in it where that's got a rattle that sings. It's also got a knocker in it too, so it's actually got two sounds. But I left the rattles out of the square bill, and it's got a little bit wider wobble, and the knocker system in it goes side to side, not back and forth. So when it's doing that stuff, it makes a clicking noise. And it took about almost 2 years to get that where I wanted it, making that bait, because I grew up wade fishing in a creek, and with weeds and all that stuff, and you'd kick the crawdads out of them weeds before you catch them, and you'd always hear them with their tail going across the water, and you'd hear them click. And I tried to my best to make the same sound coming from that bait sound kind of like that crawdad. And it works. Now, we take those out there right now. We may put six of these out trolling them at various depths, and then we'll put 3-ounce sinkers on and put two drop down rods, push them. Or you can pull them off the back, but you can drop them off front of the boat and control your depth real good, and you've got a different sound and different action in the water with the same bait.
42 different colors in the deep divers and 14 color patterns in the...
13 or 14, yeah.
Yeah, 14 in the square bill.
Okay.
So talk a little bit about the weight. You brought the weights up, so I know that you have weights. These aren't just like egg sinkers, and there's a reason why you built them like you did.
Right. They're a big teardrop shaped weight, and they have swivels at each end. A lot of people build them and they've just got a hook on the end of it and everything. Those things will spin your line. I like a swivel on mine. You've seen how my set I troll with braid. And I put a snap on the end of that braid. And if I want to put a snap it to a weight and put a piece of mono on and push a crankbait, I can do that. Or if I want to just snap it straight on the crankbait, I can do that. If I'm going to spider rig in the spring with the same rods, still got my line, still got my snap, I can snap that thing onto a little half-ounce sinker. And now I've got my weight, and I can put a mono drop on it to spider rig with.
Yeah, and one of the things, that you do have for crankbait fishing is you got your choice of mono line or braid. I prefer the braid, and then for my downlines, then I'm using the Force Flex, the mono, for that.
Right.
So what do you like using on your poles?
Well, I'll put the 30-pound braid on, the Vanguard braid, and then behind that, I'll usually put a 10-pound mono leader if I'm going to push. If I'm just going to troll a crankbait, I'm just going to snap to the bait.
Yep. All right.
Gives you the advantage if you got 30-pound tester. That stuff's a diameter of 6.
Yeah.
So you're probably pulling hard. You're probably getting a little more depth than you would with 10-pound mono. Plus, if you do get hung up, you can usually thumb it and get that dude back.
I think that's the big thing is like with that, like not, and you'd prefer people to lose their lures, isn't right? Because you're like, you are trying to sell them.
Right. Yeah, the gar will take enough of them away from you.
Yeah, definitely will.
Woo, they got some gar down in Grenada, man. Wow.
Yeah, it's big ones down there. Yeah, it's growing big.
Things that big around.
So we were out there. What were you looking for, like, when we were trolling when we were out there?
We were just following break lines. I mean, that's all it really amounts to. I mean, a big help for you is to have a sonar unit that has a maps in it.
Uh-huh.
And that'll be way more help to this than LiveScope ever would be, just charting maps. And if you didn't have that in your in a boat and you just had an old John boat and you can still troll crankbaits, just start making passes. To me, flats are kind of key, but they need to have a channel around them somewhere for fish can live in a channel, feed on a flat. And if you just want to take a boat and go back and forth and just kind of chart your way back and forth across that thing, you're going to cover fish.
Right. Well, I noticed that we've just been staying in some deep water.
Right.
And mostly in that channel, but there are a few people that are scooting off. And it seems like whenever you scoot off, that's when all of a sudden you start catching catfish.
Yeah.
What's your deal on, you always say catfish.
Here's my deal on catfish. I caught a catfish first thing Saturday morning. Uh-huh. Right, first rattle out of the bat, I was back 60 foot.
Right.
We never caught a fish, a crappie, all day long beyond, I think, 45 foot back. So I was too deep.
Yep.
You see, anytime you catch catfish, you are fishing underneath the crappie.
Uh-huh.
Now, every now and then, there's them little bitty stupid ones that you could probably catch on a popping bug or something, you know. But when you start catching them roasting ear-sized blue cats down there, you're underneath the crappie.
So keep it shallow.
Yep.
How about, and color makes a difference. We talk a lot about color and different patterns. It seems like everyone has their favorite.
Yeah, my favorite's whatever they're biting. I'm telling you what, man, we got 42 colors, and I was wondering if I didn't need 72 by the time I cycled through them down there, man. I'm telling you, I went through some colors.
Did you bring your own tackle box down there? Tom's stacked up, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Tom's got he may have more inventory than I do. I don't know. But, yeah, I brought two or three big sacks full of tackle, full of stuff, too, so. Yeah, I mean, we had the baits. It was just figuring out, green's not it. Nope, blue's not it either, you know.
Right.
Orange, orange ain't working. So,
you actually have one called Grenada Green.
I do.
Like, literally, it's named after fishing.
I thought I should have took a marker and wrote Grenada on the side of it and put it down there to see if it'd help them bite it. I don't know.
Well, if crappie run in schools, they might be smart crappie, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
If they're in schools. And
I don't know. Yeah, just because Grenada is so far south, it seems to me like it goes through the spawn dead feeding time later than what we do up here.
Right.
Because, I mean, you would think those fish down there would spawn in February. It's pretty good. If it's got water in it in February, it's a pretty good place to fish.
Right.
But I don't know if it takes, when they fill that thing up in the spring, if it takes the turbidity a while to get out of the water, what the deal is. But it seems like they always spawn after we have spawn up here.
Yeah.
So early June down there, like we're in full swing. I mean, late June. We're in full swing around here on crankbaits. Down there, it's just now getting started. This month of July and then going into August, that sucker lights up down there.
gets warm down there. It's going to be warm up here too. So yeah, we're getting some fishing, water temperatures that are up there too. So,
yep.
You know, we're looking at a lot of the shad up towards the top. And
right. Those fish down there, it activates them. It gets them going.
How about boat traffic? I know a lot of people, when they talk about crankbait fishing, they talk about boat traffic, whether it's good or bad.
Oh, man. The difference here, when we're on this Highland Reservoir here, some of the stuff coming by you doesn't belong on this small of a body of water. So it makes it very, very, very hard to fish. Down there, the boat traffic is everybody fishing.
Right.
You know, anybody that's down there recreation-wise is down by the dam where they feel safe. And at that, that whole lake might have five pontoons pulling in or two. You know, it's nothing. But the amount of boats that can confine to 1 square mile area down there, you're going to meet people and have conversations during the day while you're fishing.
Right.
You know, I mean, just all day long. Then that's the way it is. There's so many boats, trolling crankbaits, trolling jigs, live scope. Everybody's out there doing their thing. And everybody's really pretty polite and cordial with one another. And but that many boats in the water makes them fish boat shy. They know what a boat is.
Uh-huh.
And you can troll just about anything before the sun rises and catch fish. And the sun comes up, and it's like something triggers. It's like, oh, crap, here comes the crankbaits. So they hear a boat on the water, just the little ripple of the water beating on that boat, and they're gone. And the trick, I guess, is to use planer boards and figure out how far are they staying away from your boat.
Yeah.
Saturday, it was 75 to 100 foot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's out there in quite a ways.
It was.
For any place.
Yeah.
That's a long ways
it
out
is.
There.
I'm telling you.
Boards are pretty are great to have. You don't sell any boards yet, do you?
I do not.
I could see Mitch making his own out of like some sort of cedar or something.
That might happen. If I've got to do that, they ain't going to be for sale.
call them Pico pine boards or something.
Yeah. Yeah, also useful if you catch a gar and you need to cook him.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know. There's no easy way of getting out of gar. I will say, though, someone told me the other day they keep a big pair of channel locks, not small, but a great big pair. And when they get on, he just takes the whole snout and grabs them with the channel lock. Says it's a lot safer than sticking.
Well,
your
I can imagine
there.
That.
And
would
I was
be.
Like, well, that's a good idea. Yeah. Right now, it's like that's that needle nose. I got my Vanguard needle nose.
Well, it's pretty handy to have a towel and grab their snout with a towel.
Yeah. And that's one thing. The hooks that you have on those are super sharp, and they seem to they keep their edge, and they're strong enough to, you know, you have to catch quite a few fish before they start breaking off. But we've been catching quite a few.
Yeah.
Fish, so, but I mean that's kind of part of the whole deal in there with the crankbait fishing is you're going to lose some because
that's part of it.
When you catch them. You have to ski them in is actually the best way to get them.
Right. There's no when you're doing this stuff, there's no reason to panic. When you see a rod bounce, when you see a planer board going backwards, there's no reason to panic. I always do, but there's no reason.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so, but because that crappie's got 12 seconds of fight in him, and that's when he can rip. If you pull back on him, that's when he's going to rip them hooks out. The best thing you can do when you get bit trolling a crankbait is pick your rod up and hold it up and just keep the tension on that fish. And in about 10, 15 seconds, he'll come to the top of the water head first. Then you just kind of slowly ski him in. Every now and then he'll shake a little bit. Just stop and let him. And then you just ski him right on in the boat and you can just pull him right on in.
It's easier to get something in.
Now, when you're down there and in a tournament and you can see the head of a 2-pounder coming up down there, it makes you nervous. You know?
Right.
And we actually had a little scramble to get everything out of the dip net so we could actually use it. But
We've been catching one or two. Every time out, we've been catching one or two that's really good.
Right.
Really good crappie for that. I'd say it's numbers, but some days recently – We haven't had numbers, but the numbers we've been catching is the number of keepers. The catch ratio has been better than catching the 50 fish day. And then, you know, you're going to have to catch 50 fish to get more than a limit.
To get enough for dinner.
So, but I mean, I think that's one of the big things.
Yeah, and what I was seeing out here is so many of those fish are 9.5 inches.
Yes.
Come December, we can eat them.
Yeah, they're going to be growing because there's lots to eat, a lot
That's
of shad
right.
to eat.
Yep.
So
I'm kind of happy with what's going on in Beaver shad-wise. It's doing really well.
We got shad, we got crappie, we got everything. It's good to go. Point 12, the other day, I know some people have been pulling crankbaits and even there and going up towards the Highway 12 bridge is catching a few walleye in there.
Wow.
So you probably got a couple of walleye colors that are in there. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, these are good walleye colors, and then we've got a lot of the fire, you know, the purple and pink and black and chartreuse and geezer clown.
And on the other hand, paycheck has been, we've been doing really good on paycheck. Hopefully you brought some extra paychecks for me to take home. That's what I got.
I got a feeling that somebody down there got them out of my boat because they really, I trolled the crap out of it on Grenada. And I know Tom is on Sardis today. He's like, pulling that's all he's got in the water right now is the paychecks.
Paycheck's a great color. It's going to be a good color for everything that bites.
That's right.
You know, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. That explains the big trophy right there.
Yeah.
Mitch, you're bringing back the hardware from Grenada. So,
guys, if you come home with one of them after a fishing trip, your wife won't give you a hard time.
That's right.
The tip of the day.
That's the tip of the day for
She even made me dinner.
I'd ask you what you were trolling, but I'm pretty sure that you were.
That was the key of this thing right here.
Christmas tree, Wonder Bread, and white splatterback.
Yep. That did it.
Those are really popular colors. And even though when you're crappie fishing, a lot of times you change colors, Pico does have a lot of different colors. 42
colors,
color patterns in that deep diver. So you can check them
when
out.
When you're cycling through that, you know, we got green patterns and orange patterns and pink patterns and purple patterns.
Yep.
And you know, if you caught one on a pink splatterback, then maybe you get a solid pink bait out there with it. Or if you caught an orange splatterback, then you can do an orange fire tiger and an OJ and get different variations of that. See if it's just the orange thing or if it's a variation of it.
That's right. So big trophy, crankbaits, they're biting. And a lot of people, what have they been ordering for colors, though? Give them a little inside. What's the colors they've been buying?
Well, since this tournament, they've been soaking up just about everything. But those three colors right there are in every order.
In every order.
And, well, I mean, we had an order Monday, I guess. A guy ordered two of everything and four of those.
Wow.
So
they're
– Yeah. We had several orders about like that. This is the time of year when you get it on. This is freezer filling time. I'd rather fish this time of year as I had to go out there and jerk them out of treetops, I think.
Oh, this is pretty good.
Unless
right
I got
now.
A bobber on.
Yeah.
I do like that bobber fish.
Probably has a bobber in his pocket right now.
Yeah.
A Vanguard.
Yeah.
You can always get Pico crankbaits at picolures.com. Mitch, if they want to find out more about Pico Lures, where would they go?
I can go to picolures.com and see everything we've got. Get all over YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Where else you got us?
Just about any place.
Yeah.
But mostly you can catch it there. We also have some tips that are on the Facebook page.
Right.
So,
yeah, and we'll be doing some more of that.
Yeah, we'll be doing more.
Basically tips, Pico Lures into the search box in Google and just surf to your heart's desire.
There you go. There you have it. Like we always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp. Your lure's in the water.